Hey, it's Ron Johnson, and this is the Ron Johnson Show on the Locked On Sports Minnesota Podcast Network. And on today's show, I'm excited. I got Marquise Gray, former Gophers and NFL tight end. He started at quarterback, but we'll talk about that with him and talk about that change to the NFL tight end spot. But we got to talk about the Vikings. The Vikings are headed to the Saints, and this is another pivotal game. Why? Because they beat the Lions. They beat the Packers. They lost to the Eagles, which everybody now thinks the Eagles are a Super Bowl favorite. So that's a good team. But now they play the Saints, who we don't know which Saints team is going to show up, which Saint team is going to play. Now, they did travel early, and the Vikings are going to travel later this week. Now, whose plan is going to work out better? We'll talk about the favorite in this game and why. BetOnline.net has them as a 3-point favorite to the Vikings. But is that enough, or is that just right? Stay tuned.
On the field, in the broadcast booth, Ron Johnson is Minnesota sports. One-of-a-kind opinions, big-name guests, the teams you care about every day. It's the Ron Johnson Show, part of Locked On Sports Minnesota, and it starts now.
Hey, everyone, I'm Ron Johnson. This is the Ron Johnson Show. It's a beautiful, chilly Wednesday. I don't know about you Minnesota folks, but I am trying not to turn my heat on just yet. My wife, every morning, wakes up. She tries to make it look like she has 50, like, layers on when she's sitting in the living room reading a book in the morning when I get up. And I'm like, I'm still holding out. Like, I don't know. We'll talk to Sam about that, about the heat. But they're going over to London. The players are going to London. We've talked about that with the Vikings-Saints game. Don't know the weather over there. Haven't even looked at it. But before we get into this betonline.net odds favorite and who's right, who's wrong, and where should the line be, make sure that you know that you can now find the Locked On Sports Minnesota on Amazon Fire and Roku. Download the Locked On Sports Minnesota app to get all your favorite shows. Well, as we jump into today's show, I got to bring Sam Extraman in and just talk first. Just knock it out. Sam, 30 seconds. Not even. Mm-hmm. Where are you with your heat in Minnesota? Because I keep seeing these tweets from Minnesotans saying, at what point are you going to turn your heat on?
Yeah, so I really hate being cold in my house, and I feel like our house runs cold as it is. Like, the basement that I record in, by default, is like 64 degrees. Like, I really don't like being cold, so I'm probably more like your wife. I'm going to turn the heat on sooner than later and make sure that we're, like, you know, 68 baseline. And then, you know, if we do have a warm day, then we'll put the cool back on and kind of fluctuate. But I'm kind of a wimp around the cold, I'll admit it.
Well, you know, I bought one of those home packages. I'm always against that kind of stuff. But the older I get, the more I get like my parents. And so I bought one of those home packages where they come every spring, winter, fall, whatever, and they check all your stuff, the air conditioner, the furnace, they check your gas lines, they check the vents, all that stuff, like the home maintenance stuff that I normally am not going to do. You know, they check to make sure your filters are changed and all that stuff. And so this last visit, of course, they tell us that there's a slight crack in something in the furnace. And so we can either get it fixed, which is about half the cost of a new one. So, of course, I'm like, well, why would I just get it fixed and then pay half of what it would cost to get a new one? So I'm going to get a new one. And so that's the one reason why I haven't turned it on. Like, they turned the gas off to the furnace because I'm like, look, it's a crack in it. I don't know, you know, it's not going to kill you, but eventually if you get enough carbon monoxide, you'll die. So I'm holding off. But today I think I'm going to call the guy and say, all right, let's go ahead and get this replaced. It's getting cold out. My wife, my kids are going to kill me if they wake up again and they're freezing, because it is cold in the mornings. Now in the afternoons, like once the sun comes up, because the skylights in the kitchen, the house is actually pretty warm without the heat on. But yeah, in the morning, it does get pretty chilly. So yeah, we might have to do that. Put it on a little timer to warm it up overnight for us and then turn it off when we leave for school and work. But Sam, as we jump into this hot Vikings-Saints game, this is a game now that actually means something to toss up, because what the Eagles did and then how many players the Saints added to their roster, and then what you saw against the Bucs. Even though the Bucs were a good team and forced Jameis in some turnovers, Jameis Winston still finds ways to be effective. We also have to remember, this dude threw for 5,000 yards. So, Sam, quick twitch, what are your thoughts on this upcoming Saints-Vikings game?
Yeah, well, I want to know what Jameis Winston's back situation is. I'm hearing transverse fracture, and I'm seeing a lot of interceptions on his line score. So that tells me that Jameis Winston is still Jameis Winston. He's going to make mistakes, and you're going to take advantage of those mistakes, and he's playing hurt. So I feel like the quarterback advantage is in the Vikings' favor in this game, and I think the line reflects that. -3. But two, if you look too at what the Saints have done this year, they miraculously snuck by Atlanta. And Atlanta's a bad team. They had no business winning that game until a big fourth quarter. They lose to the Panthers. I don't know if the Panthers are a good team. And they put up 3 points against Tampa. And Tampa is a good team. But they've played three games where they could easily be 0-3, Ron. So I feel like three is like the minimum that I would set for this game. And I think the Vikings are correctly favored. Is that how you feel?
Yeah, I think so. When you look at the quarterback matchup first, let's go with the quarterback matchup. Jameis Winston edges Kirk out in total pass yards, but his interception to TD ratio is crazy right now. He's literally trending for what he did in his last year with the Bucks. He has four touchdowns, five interceptions. Now, Kirk did have a three interception game, but if he were to go clean, unscathed the rest of this season, he would probably only end up with about seven interceptions because I don't think Kirk Cousins is going to have another game like that. Like, I can pretty much guarantee he's not going to throw three picks anymore. One, he's probably learned, hey, his back shoulder. I got a chance to interview Tanner Morgan yesterday, and he and I talked about that. Like, the Daniel Jackson touchdowns, I was like, was that a back shoulder? He's like, yep, that was a back shoulder fade call. Fade stop is what you call it. So a lot of that times, if the communication is that sometimes it's what the defense gives you. And if Kirk Cousins didn't see what Justin Jefferson saw, that's the reason for some of those red zone interceptions and issues. The one corner route, I've talked about that. So I don't think Kirk's going to have that type of game again. Jameis Winston will give you the ball, but it's up to like Harrison Smith. Now, the Vikings have played without him. Josh Metellus did well. Cam Bynum continues to shine. Like his ability to read in the box now, when you saw him make that fourth and one stop where he kind of read it and forced the running back to take a secondary step out, allowing the defense to catch up to him. Cam Bynum's playing well. But when you look at the percentage completion-wise for Jameis Winston, 63.5% is not going to get it done on the field or in the classroom. But Kirk says 62, so that's not good either. But not bad, but not good either. Like, he has to improve there. When you look at the touchdown, like I said, five touchdowns for Kirk Cousins, three interceptions. His passer rating, sorry, that's where the 84 is. His passer rating is 84. And that's where I think he edges Jameis Winston out a little bit better. The 84 passer rating still has to improve, though. We've talked about like the Jalen Hurts, 106.5. Kirk Cousins has to get there. And that's where you want to get 60% completions. He's got to get closer to that 69, that 70% completions to really be an efficient quarterback. Because you look at Josh Allen, 71. You look at Tua Tagovailoa, 71. You look at Justin Herbert, I mean, upper 67. That's where you want it. Does Joe Flacco's 58.7? That's not going to get it done. Like, you know, people want to say, well, you know, it's tough to be in the 80s. It is, but you got to be. It's a game of inches in football, and we know that. And one slight change here or there can change it. Third down efficiency. You know, we looked at the Vikings getting 30 first downs, but having a dismal third or 30 first downs, but a dismal third down outing. You have to find ways to subsidize, and that's what they did on first and second down. But you still got to be pretty good on third down as well. You don't want to always end up punting. I mean, to be 3-16, it's not good. Like, you don't want to always end up having to punt on third down and, you know, and have to rely on first and second down first downs. You want to end up in third and short, as I've said, third and three, third and two. Those are manageable third downs where the defense can't really figure out what you want to do, which means you got to be a little bit more efficient on first, second down. Nothing wrong with getting first downs on first, second down, but then if it's always that boom or bust and then you're not getting them, then you're putting yourself in terrible third down situations. So you got to figure that out. And so what Kevin O'Connell has to do now is figure out his way to do it. How am I going to get into this? And offensive coordinators, like people always say, the first 15 plays are probably scripted, give or take. After that, you got to get a feel for the game. And this is what I will say, that's kind of a sneaky thing, and I'll pay off the tease as far as a 3-point favorite in my opinion. But Garrett Bradbury has not looked bad. Like, I think Kirk Cousins being able to change some plays at the line of scrimmage, Kirk Cousins being able to get in some plays that work, Kevin O'Connell putting them in better situations, he has not looked as bad as they even thought, I think, because they kept saying he has to improve here, he has to improve here. Maybe that was a Jedi mind trick to say, dude, get better. Like, this is not your job. You have to win this. You have to improve. Ed Ingram looks like he belongs. Like, he's playing well. You're not seeing him getting blown back into the quarterback's lap every game like we've seen in the past with Vikings guards. Ezra Cleveland continues to improve. The tackles have been great. Like, the tackles have been really good. Like, we don't even talk about getting blown by and blowing up the backside of the quarterback, knock on wood, so we don't have that in this coming game. But because Cam Jordan is a beast, but we have not seen – the tackles have been good. I think the one downfall spot, because Dalvin Cook looked good, Alexander Mattison looked good, we know Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen looked good with K.J. Osborne. It's been the tight end. Irv Smith has been the one line where you're like, man, if only he could find a way to get a little bit more wiggly, a little bit more loose, create a little bit more separation. They have a offense hitting on all cylinders. I hate to say this, but you put Travis Kelce in this offense or Zach Ertz, this is a nasty well-oiled machine. It's there. But they need Irv Smith to do what he did in college, which is create separation, get nasty and wiggle. Like, utilize your leverage. Find the leverage of the guy guarding you. Find out if his man or zone and where you're going to actually line up and go. Like, it's got to be a little bit more detail. That's why Johnny Munt, I think, starts out most of the games. Irv comes in as tight end too. Whether it's because of injury and he hasn't, you know, they just don't want to put him out. But he's playing. But Johnny Munt is going out there as their tight end one in a lot of their running, passing situations. Irv comes in certain formations, but I don't think they're completely sold on Irv, but he can earn it. He can earn it. But in my opinion, the 3 points, I think that's right. I think that's right for the simple fact of it's a neutral. Like, if you were in New Orleans, I think it might be a little bit more even, if not give the Saints a 1.5 point favorite because of the crowd noise. But now that it's even, both quarterbacks are going to have to deal with noise because those fans over there are fans of everything. Like, you're going to see jerseys from every team except for probably the Browns represented over there. And you're going to have so many different, you know, jerseys out there and fans. They just want to cheer. Like, they don't care who's on the field, who's making up. Now, you're going to have a huge UK Vikings following because we know there's a huge following in the UK for the Vikings. So you're going to have that. You're going to have a lot of Vikings fans traveling. I see a lot of the Vikings wives already packed up and ready to get on the road Thursday. But that's the key, is like, what is this going to look like when they get there? And I'd say the Vikings are going to, they're going to have the early edge for the simple fact of, I think Kevin O'Connell's quarterback is better. And I think his offensive strategy is a little bit better. I think Jameis Winston goes into games just thinking like, you know what? If all else fails, I'm going to just throw this thing up and hope my guy can make a play. And that's why I think, you know, having Harrison Smith in this game is going to be key. Hopefully he can get back on the field because he's a great center fielder and he's a great weapon when it comes to that. Nothing against Josh Metellus. I don't think Josh Metellus can do what, and everybody knows that, what Harrison Smith can do back there, just from a knowledge standpoint of knowing like, hey, I'm the helper. I'm going to disguise it and do this, but I'm going to get back in center field. And when he throws it up, I know I can close on that. Because Jameis is going to do that. He's going to do that here and there. But he also can get hot and really hurt you. So I do think that is a good number for them as far as a favorite. But coming up, we got Marquise Gray joining me in the Hangout with Ron Johnson segment. But before we do that, we have a word from our sponsors.
We've been telling you about the lines from betonline.net. That's your number one source for football betting info this season. Find the latest developments, team matchups, and news at betonline.net, which has the best, most up-to-date analysis. The Vikings are -3 against the Saints on Sunday, over-under 44. So they're thinking like a 23-20 Vikings win in that game. It's not just NFL. It's NCAA football. It's MLB. It's UFC. It's golf. It's everything. It's betonline.net. Check it out online on your mobile device and learn more about the action. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Well, now it's time to hang with Ron Johnson. I got my boy Marquise Gray. I don't think if Marquise Gray's kids didn't play basketball, I would have forgot to reach out to him. His sons are playing for Eden Prairie Youth Basketball. They made the top team, and of course, Marquise has to get them their numbers. So he reached out to me because I work with the program, and so you know we had to get them the numbers they wanted for the season. I did put the request in, Marquise, just to let you know. So I know they say they're going to try to set the roster. They have their sizes and the numbers they want. But Marquise, man, I want to thank you for joining me on the Ron Johnson Show. I'm going to jump out there, man. You played in a time where, you know, you had to decide from college, playing quarterback, going to the NFL, what you want to do. What was that transition like going from quarterback in college, one of the top college quarterbacks in the Big Ten, one of the most exciting quarterbacks in the Big Ten, to NFL team saying, hey, I think you'd be better suited at tight end?
Oh, it was very hard. Going from quarterback to tight end, as well as doing special teams. No, I felt like I had the privilege and of one of the NFL teams. I think it was the Jets. They wanted to bring me in as a quarterback, and then I had other teams that wanted to bring me as a tight end. But I was a 49er boy growing up. My oldest brother was a Jerry Rice fan, so it was. And then they had all the firepower there too. It was the year after the Super Bowl where the lights cut off too. So I was just like, hey, let's try tight end over. With the 49ers, get to learn from Vernon Davis, and of course, using my athletic ability, I felt like I'll have a longer career playing tight end. But what I didn't realize was how strong those boys were, man. And that was one of the things that took the longest to adjust to, besides getting more conditioning and running around a lot. I did some running at quarterback, but I didn't run. Like, we had to cover the whole field in special teams practice, so. I can't lie. I mean, when I got to training camp with the 49ers, man, I was ready to call my wife and tell her I'm ready to pack it in. I didn't expect none of that. Like I said, I'm coming from quarterback. All we did was take drop steps and we throw the ball a little bit. But I'm going from covering the field the whole time in special teams and going right back to O&D. It was brutal. But as far as the transition, it was extremely hard. Not the mental aspect. Well, yeah, I can't, because that offense we had, it was pretty hard too. Coach G-Row, who's offensive coordinator for the Ravens now, he was my OC, and that offense was something special.
Yeah, man. And so, you know, looking at, and you brought up your wife. And so Tanner Morgan, I interviewed Tanner Morgan yesterday, and Tanner is a married college athlete. You were basically a married college athlete as well. What was that like, basically being married in college?
I got married. Yeah, I actually got married my senior year. Got married, and during the our bowl game, and I was scared to tell Coach Kill, like, "Hey, man, I just got married." You know, he was like, "I love Coach Kill, man. To this day, I still remember everything he's done for us." He offered to. He said he got messed up. I'm sorry. He got mad that I didn't invite him to the wedding. We didn't even have a big wedding. We really got married at the Mall of America because I was in college. We had no money, but. He understood it. He was all for it, and he allowed my whole family to come down for the bowl game, and we had a great time. But yeah, it was hard at times, just knowing that I got to do practice. I had the twins too, but I had to put all that aside, focus on getting the bigger picture, which was providing for the family that I just created. So I wouldn't say it wasn't hard on that part, but it was mainly hard on just focusing, balancing everything together a little bit.
Yeah, and I'm going to make sure we get this clip to Tanner Morgan. So what advice would you have for Tanner Morgan? Because he's literally in your shoes. He's been married for 3 months.
Manly, I would just say take it one day at a time, man. Continue to, once you're on the field, focus on the field. And once you're at home, focus at home. Don't combine the two, because the minute you do, that's when everything will start to fall apart. So like I said, what's on the field stays on the field, and what's at home stays at home.
Yeah, man, that's good advice. That's good advice. So let's talk about Coach Kill. You brought that up. Coach Kill, you had Brewster, who recruited you. I remember watching you in the Army-Navy mm-hmm. game, and you committed to Minnesota. And then you end up – your hat was a little bit too small, I think, but
– It was.
But you committed to Minnesota. Everybody's excited. Big, strong quarterback coming to Minnesota under Brewster. Had some turmoil years with Brewster, and then all of a sudden now you get Coach Kill. What was the transition or the differences between Kill and Brewster?
I don't want to say, like they said, Brew is like a car salesman. I wouldn't say that. I mean, Brew was one of the main reasons why I got here. I mean, you just felt mm-hmm. home, and the fans too. Like, I only took one official visit, and that was here in Minnesota. So between Coach Brew and the fans, that's what brought me here. So there's nothing I can really say bad about Coach Brewster. And then once we got Coach Kill, he believed in me. He gave me the opportunity, even when I didn't have bad games. He kept me in there, encouraged me, and I felt like we just had each other's back through everything, through his epilepsy mm-hmm. seizures, and through my bad games. Like, I would say probably my worst games was the first game of the season when we were in Las Vegas, when we paid, I can't remember the team name, but I've been out of school so long. But what school? UNLV, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Incomplete pass. I mean, we won the game, but he stuck beside me, and that let me know that he was for me. Like, the first day I met him, we ran into each other in the hallway once he got the job. Gave me a couple compliments and told me that I'm his guy. He was going to stick it out to me, and he did. When I got hurt, he found a way to get me back on the field. I mean, I could have had the option of just sitting back and letting my other quarterbacks take over or be on the field playing tight end or wildcat or receiver. And me being an athletic person, like I said, I wanted to be on the field. That was the main thing. So I put my pride to the side, learned a new position, and he backed me up throughout all the way. So I love both of those guys.
Yeah, man. And so you look at now Coach Keel, and now he's still coaching, and he, you know, just played the Gophers. Gophers are, you know, number 21 in the nation now. So clearly they are a lot better than people even assumed early with some of the early wins. Sure. When you see Coach PJ Fleck, though, like what does the program now mean to you, seeing, you know, where they've gone, what they've built, the national recognition they're getting? They're starting to show old highlights of guys like yourself when they're talking about the different teams over the years and the number of athletes that have come through here. You know, how much pride do you have when you see what PJ Fleck put together on the field?
Man, I love it. I love the energy he brings to the team. Like, he's one of those guys that we say in the NFL, like, a player's coach. He looks after his guys. I mean, I get jealous sometimes, like, seeing all the trips they're taking and the new facility, the new jerseys. I'm like, man, that's nice. But at the same time, he's a coach you would want to play for. I mean, he and his staff are doing a great job sticking together and getting that team to where they are today. I mean, like I said, when I was in college, I had, what, 3 head coaches, 6 position coaches. Just having the same coaching staff throughout your whole college career, that could even help as much. And like I said, man, that energy, having his guys run up and down the sideline after each quarter, just the tone of his voice through press conferences, he's one of the coaches you want to play for sure.
Wow, wow, wow. I didn't realize you had that many coaches. That's crazy. 6 coaches.
Man, yeah.
6 positions. That's crazy. That's crazy. So NFL, you go to the NFL, you play for a couple teams, but you play for the Vikings. You did have a chance to be here with the Vikings. What was that experience like being in Minnesota with the Vikings?
It was great just being back home with my family. Like I said, that's when my boys were at their youngest, like, 'cause I missed so much time being with them and some of their school events or even sporting events. Just to get that call to come back to know that the Vikings had claimed me once I got released from the Browns. Man, I was so happy, man. I think I still got stuff back in Cleveland because I left so fast just to get back here, just to be back home. Like, I was so excited just to be back home with my family. And the time we had North Turner, I had him before too. So he was the main reason. He was probably the main reason why I got here. So, like, it was great, man. I mean, of course, Adam Thielen was there too. There's still a couple guys there when I was there. But I trained with Adam Thielen, so I got to see firsthand of all the work that he put in. Through our offseason and all that stuff, to see that way he's become today. They ain't never one of the faces of the Vikings, man. It's great to see. And he's been a great person, great father, and a great athlete. Like I said, man, it was just great. I was so happy. I didn't want to leave, but unfortunately, you know, NFL is a business. And what was the worst part about it is when I got cut, I had to go to Buffalo when they had the snowstorm. So, and I seen it on the news. I was like, man, I hope I don't go to Buffalo. Next thing you know, got the call, I'm going to Buffalo. But it turns out I freaking love Buffalo. Buffalo was, man, that's one place you would love to play at and a team you'll play for. So I really don't have any regrets or negativity to say about my whole career playing in the NFL. But I'm so happy to be blessed to play with the Vikings and be back home with my family. So that was one of the highlights of my career.
Yeah, man. So looking at quarterback, so you play quarterback, but you end up playing tight end. But you play quarterback, so there were times I know when, like, a quarterback would do something where you're like, man, like, how did you do that? Like, I know what you should have done here. But what are some of the favorite, like, your favorite quarterbacks you've played with that threw you the ball in your time?
No particular order. I'd say Matt Moore, he was a gunslinger. Ryan Tannehill, of course. who else? Oh, Tyrod Taylor. Man, if you're talking about in the NFL putting headaches on defenses and having a defense defensive coordinator managing a dual threat quarterback that can pass the ball too, I was about to say that dude, man, he could throw the ball. He got an arm. He's very accurate, very smart too. He was like one of those. I would say he was one of my big brothers too. Because sometimes when I would come into the training room, I would like to drink like the little Welch's grape juice. He's like, man, put that down, drink some water. Like, you're right. I do that. But at the same time, man, that dude was he was on every little detail, making sure guys was in the right spot, just being overall field general as a quarterback. And that was like, I was probably like the top, one of my top three quarterbacks that I played with, for sure, for sure. Tyrod Taylor.
And when you look at this Gophers team, last one before we jump into the Daily Three, when you look at this Gophers team, now people are saying Penn State's the next test because Purdue, nothing against Purdue, but Penn State, Illinois is a sneaky one. But then you got Wisconsin, Iowa. What do you think the Gophers' chances this year now are going to the Big Ten championship game?
Very high, very high. And being an athlete and being a guy in the NFL, you know, you notice that any given outcome can happen on any given day. So as long as they continue to play the way they have been playing, they should be Big Ten champs, 100%. I mean, they're, like you said, I think they're number two in the nation in running. I think so. Mm-hmm. And then they're in top 25. I mean, man, it's kudos to Coach Kirk. What's his – I can't pronounce his name.
Kirk Shiraka. Shiraka.
Welcome back, brother. Welcome back. Welcome back, brother. And that defense is not allowing a point, not allowing a touchdown, man. They're in the right, headed in the right direction. So they continue to do what they're doing right now. Like I said, there's no reason why they shouldn't be Big Ten champs.
Yeah, they're number one in the nation in third down efficiency too, which, you know, as an offensive guy, that's huge when you can make sure you're moving the sticks every single time just about. Now, granted, the early games, people are saying they didn't play a lot, but Michigan State, they still had a great day on third down. So now Purdue. And then, you know, we'll see Illinois, Penn State, but Purdue is the next one up in the Purdue championship season, as PJ Fleck would call it. So I'm looking forward to it. And then homecoming. So homecoming's coming up. Are you going to go, or do your boys have football?
We got football. And that's the thing, they have football. Normally we have football 8 or 9 a.m., but this Saturday is, of course, at 12 o'clock. So hopefully I can get out there I want to get to the Iowa game. So – hopefully I'll find a way to get out there and bring them boys. So that's the main trophy, because I didn't get the axe, man. I just – anytime we can – I'm still – every day I get mad about that. I didn't get the axe, but I got the pig 2 times. So that's the game that I want to go to get the boys out there to see that and hopefully bring home that victory.
Yeah, man. Well, thank you for joining me in the Ron Johnson segment, hanging with Ron Johnson segment. But next, Marquise is going to stick around. Sam's going to join the show. We got the Daily Three. That's three questions. We're both going to take about a minute and a half each. And then we're going to, you know, Sam's going to throw some questions at us because Sam's going to lead the way. But check out our Locked On Sports Minnesota podcast on YouTube. Following every Twins, Vikings, Wilder, Wolves game, our Locked On team hosts are broadcasting live with team insiders. Never miss a podcast by subscribing to Locked On Sports Minnesota on YouTube. Well, it's that time. The Daily Three. Take it away, Sam.
I want to dig a little bit more into your transition to tight end, Marquise, and you, Ron, too. You dabbled as a tight end, so I'd like to get both of your perspectives of the challenges of adjusting to that position, having to block edge rushers at times. I imagine that's pretty difficult. Ron, why don't you take the first crack at it?
Yeah, mine was probably a little bit easier. I played receiver already, and I was already a big blocking receiver. I mean, I was with the Ravens for 3 years, so we had Jamal Lewis that, you know, rushed for 295 yards against the Browns. So we threw the ball 10 times that game. I think I had 2 targets that season, a game just about. I mean, we just ran the ball. We ran the ball down people's throats. We traveled with 5 running backs. That's how we knew we were going to run the ball. I remember the Steelers game, we activated 3 receivers. That was it. It was me, Travis Taylor, and Brandon Stokely. And I was like, oh, my God, we're not going to throw the ball today. Like, we had 4 tight ends, 5 running backs, and 3 receivers active for like at least 4 to 5 games. And so we just knew Brian Billick was going to, you know, he was going to run the ball. So when I got to the Bears and I start off as receiver, a lot of guys in the room, Lovey Smith's like, hey, can you play tight end if you can gain some weight? I said, sure, of course, because you want to make the team. And it wasn't as hard because I had already played in a slot a lot. I was already coming down one by one off the tight end anyway as a big receiver to block the edge. The hardest was being backside by myself, having to block guys like Izzy Adonijé. I remember, what was the other one? I forgot his name. Big, tall. Jason Taylor. We played the Dolphins. Had to block Jason Taylor one-on-one. Like, I had no shot. Like, I remember, like, Julius Peppers. I'm like, come on now. Like, this, like, run away from me. Run tall, sweep the other way. Like, don't run my way. Because there's no way at 245 pounds I'm blocking these guys. Like, no shot. Like, I used to try to buddy-buddy with some of the guys I knew, too. Like, hey, man, come on now. Like, let's chill out. Let's calm down. I remember playing the Saints, same thing. I was like, dude, just calm down, bro. Like, we boys, like, don't do it. But, yeah, that was the hardest for me, blocking DNs by myself. And it had to be, like, 1 or 2 seconds, but that was the hardest thing I've ever had to do.
Arquise, what about you?
I would agree 100%. 100%. Just like I have the story about Julius Peppers. Man, I had a play where I had to just go cut him. Because I felt like personally he never played hard, but he always dominated, so he never had to. So I went back to cut him. He looked at me. All right, I got you. I was like, chill. I was supposed to do that. I don't want no problems. Please don't do it. Next thing you know, hey, I'm concussed out. Like, Cody, I need to play. But yeah, man, it's just blocking those dudes, man. It's like you don't know real strength until you go against one of those guys. I also had to go against James Harrison. When you say brick wall, that dude there, you can literally hit him and you fall back. I gave him everything I had, and he didn't move. Made the tackle, felt bad, but like, coach, you see what he do to tackles, what do you expect from me? So, but at the same time, man, yeah, blocking those dudes one-on-one, you just pray. You just like, just hold on for dear life for these few seconds, and then the plays be over. But yeah, that physical part of being a tight end, man, I don't think you ever get used to that, ever. And then you got the mental side, too. Some offenses, it may be easy. Some may be hard.
That's incredible. Second question for you guys. What was your favorite NFL venue to play at? Any stadium that you played at in your career? Ron, what would you say?
Ooh, favorite NFL venue. Honestly, you know what? Back in the day, I'd say the Falcons. Like, playing in Atlanta – one, Michael Vick was there, so that was just, I mean, I was a fan, even though, like, I didn't have to go against him. He was the other quarterback. But getting a chance to meet Michael Vick on the field before the game, you know, we were the same age, but he had left early. I remember he was at Virginia Tech, and so we got to talk to him. But that's that venue in Atlanta back then with the Dirty Birds and all that stuff. Ray Lewis, unfortunately, it just had some situations off the field, so their fans were absolutely brutal. I mean, we showed up dudes dressed in, like, prison outfits, with bars and all this stuff, with the Ray Lewis jersey on behind bars. So their fans were absolutely nuts. But the just Atlanta itself, too, being a young black guy in the city of Atlanta, I mean, man, it was like a party. Like, when you walk to the stadium, you walking up, like, dinner the night before the game, just going out to the mall, it's people everywhere, and it was just fun to be in that atmosphere. Because I've been on the flip side going to, like, Wisconsin, and it's totally different. So I say Atlanta was fun.
Marquise?
I would say, even though I was a part of the team, I would say Buffalo Bills. Love playing in that place, man. It was always rocking. Either you have a small event, no matter what, those Buffalo Bills fans, man, they're going to show up and show out. One of the places I hated going, and I didn't know if we were going to make it back home, was in Oakland. Those fans there, man, when I say they hitting the bus when you driving up to the stadium, they giving you the finger and everything. It's like, man, let's just play this game and get out of here safe, y'all. That's all we want to do. But, yeah, those were my two favorite and worst stadiums to play at.
I do got an audible call for you because, you know, the Bear always is my offensive coordinator right here. He's always giving me plays. Audible on this one for you, Marquise. Buffalo Bills, like, were you ever tempted to, like, try to attempt to jump through a table? Like, did that ever come up in the locker room with players? Like, did anybody ever try to jump through a table?
Oh, no, man. I was still trying to keep my job the whole time. I didn't want anything, any injury to prevent that. But I would watch it in a heartbeat because that's what they're known for. Everyone, you drive into the stadium and you just see boom, boom, boom. They show it on TV, too. Like, I don't know where they got it from. But they love it and they do it continuously, and I will never do that. But I would love to watch. I love watching.
That's what somebody said. They said, whenever the Buffalo Bills are doing well, Home Depot is in trouble because no table is safe in Buffalo. And then another one, which I truly believe, they said, if the Eagles and the Bills somehow make it to the Super Bowl, there's no city in the world that can hold that much chaos from two fan bases that are absolutely nuts. So I'm like, that might be true.
Hey, that's believable. That's believable.
Last question for you guys. You both played a long, illustrious Gophers career. I want to know what your favorite trophy to play for was. Ron, we'll start with you.
Man, I mean, I'd say, like, in my career, I'd say the Hawkeyes was a good one because we beat them 3 out of 4 times. It was always close back then. Both teams were always fighting for, like, that last, like, you know, 2 or 3 in the Big Ten to try to get to the better bowl game. For at least 3 of those years, we were. 1 year, we were just on the border of my freshman year. But after that, we kind of got it together when Tyrone Carter kind of came into his own. Glenn Mason started to get it figured out. So it was Iowa. But, I mean, between Iowa and Wisconsin, I think both. Like, being at Wisconsin, we only won once. Like, and that was my senior year. But, you know, being at Wisconsin, playing their fans, like, all the games. We went to overtime against them with Ron Dayne here in Minnesota. So it was never a blowout. It was always close. We had, like, a last-minute drive. They beat us in Wisconsin as well. And then in Minnesota, we actually – I don't think it was close. I think it was, like, 29-17 or something like that. So that was actually fun to finally – have a game where it didn't come down to the last minute, even though I still think my sophomore year they cheated us, because I really don't think Ron Dayne, like, I don't think he scored. There's no way he scored, but whatever. it's a different story. But I think Tyrone Carter stopped him on that fourth down. They said he got it because it's Ron Dayne and the media wanted him. You know, he was the Heisman darling and all this other crap. But we absolutely held him to, I think, like, the lowest run total he ever had that season. He came on the podcast earlier this year. He actually talked about that, playing against Minnesota and how hard it was to play against that defense funneling to him. But, yeah, I'd say Wisconsin and Iowa, those two trophies were the best for me.
Marquise?
Yes, same for me. Same for me. I would say Iowa because I got the trophy twice. I always wanted that axe, man. Like Ron said, playing at their stadium and hearing the jump around song, the field vibrating a little bit, and just – that's why I get so happy when the Gophers today get the axe. So I would say, yeah, the Wisconsin Badgers and the Iowa Hawkeyes. So I love being in Iowa, but never got to beat Wisconsin.
Not getting to play Michigan very often with this division alignment, I think it's taken a little luster away from the little brown jug, but the jug is awesome, and that's a super old trophy. They used to play almost every year, and now it seems like they've only played Michigan a couple times in the last 10 years. It's kind of a bummer because I love that one.
Yeah,
it's going to be like every 6 years almost, but then I think once this UCLA, USC comes, I think they're going to have to realign it and change it up. They are saying they're going to take the alignments out and make it like a randomized schedule every year. But they, you know, who knows? Who knows with the money? Another audible one for you. Marquise, USC and UCLA are joining the Big Ten. What are your thoughts on that?
Like they said, man, it's a money move. I don't like the idea of it. I like our teams. I mean, I don't think it's a good fit. It's just UCLA, USC, and the Big Ten. It just doesn't sound right. It doesn't feel right. But, hey, what do I know? But like I said, I'm just sold on the old Big Ten, so.
Yeah, you and Spice, man. Spice Adams, he's not a fan of it either, but I think it's because of Penn State having to go all the way across the coast. But Spice Adams wasn't a fan. Everybody's different. Some people love it. Some people hate it.
Yeah.
I got to get some USC guys on here to talk about what they think because, yeah, it's 50-50 right now. Half the guys that come on the show, they love it because of the money. And then you and Spice, man, mm-hmm. y'all are sticking to it. It's not 50-50. More people like it than you two. It's more like 80-20. But yeah, you and Spice, y'all the only two so far that have said I don't like it. We're gonna have to get like a Big Ten commissioner. I know Kevin Warren and his assistant. We're gonna have to try to get one of them on to talk about that as well. Because this is the thing, Marquise, $7.5 billion next year for the TV contract over the next whatever 7 years. So I think that's part of the reason why USC and UCLA were a huge ad, because that adds TV value, and then that's gonna put more money in the players' pockets eventually. Because these NILs, as they get more on TV. Another last overtime. Well, you know, like any coach, when you're doing conditioning drills, you got 16 110s, you got one more. If you had to pick your perfect NIL, because you were in college, you were big time quarterback in college, big time recruit. What would have been the NIL deal you would have wanted in college?
Like now that I think about it, I would say 5-gun. Something with 5-gun, because I was number 5. and I always chew 5-gun. Like it's my favorite gum. So anything with that, and then I don't know, man. I really ain't thought about it. I've actually been more on the sensitive side that it didn't happen when I was playing, because all the guys that I played with, you probably would have made bank. And then when I got to the NFL, my signing bonus was only $4,000, so I had to send that home for rent. So I didn't have any money really. So I would have gladly took any and everything if I could have.
Oh, yeah, the starting QB for sure. You definitely would have. But, yeah, I want to thank Marquise Gray for joining me on the Ron Johnson Show. I want to thank all the listeners that continue to listen, download, subscribe. Please comment, like, and share. Let us know, what was your favorite trophy game for the Gophers? Is it the Brown Jug? Is it the Governor's Bell with Penn State? Is it the Pig, or is it the Axe? Which one do you like the most? And remember, when you subscribe to Locked On Sports Minnesota, you're getting endless Vikings talk with local experts. Subscribe to the free Locked On Sports Minnesota podcast feed wherever you find your podcast, and find our videos on the Locked On Sports Minnesota YouTube channel. Thank you, and have a great day.